Brother Clarence, appreciate that song this morning. Amen. I tell you this, I appreciate that more than you know, because not only did he talk about wasted years, but he focused on fruitful years. Amen. And there is no in between. It's either fruitful or unfruitful. Amen. And there is no in between. It's either wasted or it's fruitful. And you consider that for a moment. In your life, this is not just Christmas, December 25th, 2016. It's also last Sunday of this year. Has this been a wasted year for you? Or has this been a fruitful year for you? There's so many different directions that we could go this morning with this morning's service. And there's something about finishing well, though. Amen? And you have chosen to finish 2016 out well. Now, this is the last Sunday. We still have one more service, and that's this Wednesday. And so this will be the last Sunday service. The last service of the year is Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So I hope you'll be here for that. You can finish out strong, finish out well. It's all up to you on what you do. Of course, this Christmas, many of you either have already opened Christmas presents or you're going back home. Or someone else's home to open Christmas presents. Let's just take a quick poll real quick to see who has already opened Christmas presents today. You've already done it, taking care of business. Opened yours yesterday. That was a day early. All right, you can put your hands down. How many of you still have presents left to open when you get home? Okay, so that's about 50-50. So I probably just need to get going, don't I? I was hoping everyone had already opened and I could just take the rest of the day and preach the Word of God. But I will move rapidly here. I remember as a child, I teased my mother. I tease her a lot, but I tease her a lot about not having toys when I was a kid. She gets upset with me when I do that. And we've come to the conclusion that it wasn't that I didn't have toys. I didn't have the toys that I wanted. Amen? That's how that goes. I had toys, just not the toys that I ever wanted. But I do remember a couple of Christmases in particular that I got, not necessarily what I wanted because I didn't think it was possible, but I remember in second grade, we lived on a street called Richhart Street there in Lawrence, Indiana, and the house had the living room on this side. It was a little straight house, and from the living room you would go into a hallway, and it had the three bedrooms and the bathroom on the right, or you could turn as soon, before you got to the hallway, you'd turn in, and there was a big kitchen and a step up in there, and I remember that particular Christmas. I don't know if you remember this. You probably should, but my sister and I came in. They didn't wrap the presents, but they called us into the kitchen. They said, "You can't come in yet. You can't come in yet." And when they finally called us in, I remember turning the corner and looked, and sitting on the table in the dining room area of the kitchen was a pink and blue 13-inch black and white television. I think that was the same face. Now, some of you can't appreciate that. You're thinking black and white television. It had knobs that you had to turn. It had the UHF and VHF channels and all of that. But we got our very own television for our bedroom. Now, no cable. We had to use the rabbit ears and all of that. That was pretty special. I remember that. I don't remember the Christmas before that, and I don't remember the Christmas after that, but I remember that Christmas. I don't think I got anything the Christmas before or the Christmas after. No, we always got something. I remember a couple of Christmases after that, and I got, Brother Matt, you'll appreciate this, I got a Vision skateboard. You remember Vision? It was the same skateboard. This will make it relevant. It was the same skateboard Marty McFly rode in Back to the Future. Yes, now you remember. It was awesome. It's what I wanted. Everybody wanted one of those things. And I got one. And I remember that. What is the what? I'll tell you later. And so, but I remember that. You did. Huh? You did. Oh, she couldn't have. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. All I know is I got one, and it's what I wanted. And it was amazing. You know, looking back through the years, though, there's not a lot of gifts that I remember. I know we had gifts every Christmas. There were toys, there were clothes, there were, several different things that we would have gotten. But over the years, the gifts have faded into memories of even forgotten memories. And if I thought about it hard enough and long enough, there may be other things that I remember getting. I remember one Christmas getting micro machines. You remember micro machines? All right, good. You remember micro machines, Randall? They were awesome. You still have yours? No. Anyway, but I remember gifts. You remember gifts. What's the greatest gift you've ever received? I'm not asking. I want you to think in your mind. Because you haven't received the greatest gift yet, I'm sure. You have, maybe. There was no Disney Channel in black and white. I'll tell you about it later. It was a hard life I lived, I tell you. I was the remote control. How many of you are the remote control? All right, very good. No, we had to turn it on. The greatest gift is what I want to talk to you about today. In Romans chapter 8, I want you to turn your attention to that as you contemplate this morning this greatest gift. In verse number 31, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Rome, and he says, "What shall we say then? Or then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This morning, as we consider this thought, I want to look at verse number 32 one more time, as he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I ask that you would help us with this. Father, as we contemplate on the gifts that we got today and physically in our hands and for others, they may be thinking about what it is they're going to open when they get home. But Father, may we concentrate for this hour here right now on the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave to us 2,000 years ago. God, as we contemplate on that and as we focus on that this morning, may we understand that there is no gift, humanly speaking, that could weigh or be more valuable or outweigh what you have given to us through Jesus Christ. Help us this day to focus upon your goodness, upon this gift. God, may this be why we are here. May it not be just to punch our religious time clock, but Father, may it be to hear from heaven. Help us in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God is the ultimate giver. He can outgive more and give more than you and I could ever begin to think about giving. God is a giver. Now, what gift have we received? Let's talk about that first and foremost. It says in verse number 31, "What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The gift that you and I have received this day and this morning is salvation, that eternal life that only comes from God. As we have received that eternal life, as we have been given that wonderful gift, I submit to you this morning and I ask you this morning, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, that is what we all must do, as God has given that gift. It's just like any gift that you've received this Christmas. What you had to do in order to get that gift is you had to take out, reach out your hands, and receive what was being given to you. And in order to receive Jesus Christ, you must reach out and receive what God has given. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing. When He gave us this gift of salvation, this eternal life, the Bible tells us that we get this eternal life, that we may pass from this life unto life eternal. We also didn't just get salvation, but we also got a sonship. That eternal relationship with God, that new relationship with Him, the Bible tells us that you must be born again. As we are born into God's family, we become sons and children of God and daughters of God, if you will. But we get this new relationship that we can find, but it's only in this gift that God has given to us. I want you to notice also the security that is involved in this gift. There is a guarantee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've received the gift. Now the question is, and this is one of the questions that we'll ask a lot, maybe a husband to a wife, or maybe a wife to a husband, maybe sometimes even children to a parent, they'll want to know sometimes, what did that cost? Maybe, husband, your wife will look at you today and say, how'd you afford that? I didn't see that come through the bank account. What did that cost? Now, we know that on a personal basis that it's usually, I mean, husbands and wives can ask those questions, but typically when somebody gives you a gift, we would consider that to be rude to say, oh, wow, what'd that cost, right? Everybody agree with that? Okay, good. If it's not your husband or your wife, don't ask, what did it cost? We might have gotten it on sale. We might have got it on clearance last December or January. Don't ask what it cost. But you know something? God told us what this gift cost. Did you see that? In verse number 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us." You see, the Bible tells us in the book of John, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that God was made flesh. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, God gave His Son, who was before in the form of man. He was already existing. He already existed. As a matter of fact, He was there at creation. When the world was framed, Jesus was there. What did it cost? You see, when God made His Son to be flesh, He put a price tag on His Son. As a matter of fact, God put a price tag on eternity. He said eternal life is going to cost something. And it was something that you and I could not afford to pay for. Matter of fact, we came into this world already in debt, owing a debt that you and I could not pay because of the sin that had been placed upon our life from Adam. The Bible tells us that while sin was passed from Adam to man, to man, to man, to man, we had a debt that we couldn't pay. It was at that time that God sent Jesus. And Jesus said, "That's a debt that I can pay." You see, that debt must be paid by sinless perfection. That which is holy, that which is righteous, that which is clean. Jesus experienced something and paid a debt that you and I could not pay, and that price was death. But yet he didn't deserve it, because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." You see, God has given us this gift. What did it cost him? It cost him his son. "He that spared not his own son." You would think that God would look down and say, "He didn't deserve that. No, we're going to spare his life." But because he loved you, God allowed Jesus to go to the cross and give his life. He separated himself as he experienced death, as the Bible describes our sin being transferred from us, and Jesus Christ being made sin for us, taking upon himself the sin of the entire world. You see, he placed it there for himself, satisfying something that day that you and I could never do. He did it as a gift. What have we received in it? Salvation. A new relationship with God, security in God. What did it cost? It cost Jesus his life. Let me ask you this. Was it too much to pay? Now, as we give that, and we give that description, and we say, we say, "What did you pay for that? How much did that cost? Can we afford it?" And as we ask the question and as we give the answer, a lot of times we'd have to say, "Yes, it was too expensive." Was it too much for Jesus to die on the cross for our sin? Did it cost too much? I will tell you, yes. It certainly did. If there was any other way. If there was any other way that you and I could obtain this gift, if there was any other way that you and I could obtain salvation, that we could obtain this eternal life, if we could obtain this security, if we could obtain all of this, if there was any other way that it could have been done, then yes, it was certainly too high of a price for Jesus to pay. But the fact of the matter is, there was no other way. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, Jesus gave his life. He paid the penalty for your sin. He paid the penalty for my sin. And he paid it for this penalty for the whole world, that all could come to Jesus Christ, that all could take this gift. You see, that's what makes this the ultimate gift. As a parent, I know the desire to be able to give your children anything they want. To be able to provide for them anything they want. But you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that there's anyone in here today that could provide anything and everything. But I want you to see what God says. In verse 32 again, he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God's a wonderful giver. A tremendous giver is God. I love these next verses as he says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You see, while Jesus gave his life and paid that penalty for our sin, he didn't stay dead. You see, yes, he came. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on a cross of Calvary. But he rose again. Hallelujah. You see, that is what, really, if we're going to talk about his birth, we can't talk about his birth without talking about why he came, and he came to die so that he could raise again from the dead. That's why he came. That's really what it's all about. He came that he might give us life, that we might have life eternal. He says, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the throne of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who? Who can come in and separate you from God's love? He says, "Shall tribulation?" He says, there is not a problem in this world that can separate you from the love of Christ. How about a distress? You got some stress in your life? Some of you will be stressing in January when the bills come in, amen? Will that separate you from God's love? No. No, shall distress? Absolutely not. How about persecution? Somebody come in, persecute you, try to tell you you can't serve God, all those things, is that going to separate you from God's love? No. No, sir, no, ma'am. How about famine? Come in, take everything away. No food to eat, no water to drink. Is that going to separate you from God's love? Absolutely not. How about nakedness? Come in, take everything in this world you own. That separates you from the love of God? Absolutely not. How about peril? Anything bad? How about sword? Somebody come in and threaten you. Threaten your life. Deny God or die. Does that separate you? Absolutely not. He says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You see, that's through him, not us. I'm not a conqueror because of anything that I've ever done. I'm not a conqueror because of anything that I could ever do. I'm a conqueror through him who loved me, who gave his son to die for me, who gloriously resurrected, and through him I can be a conqueror. He says, "For I am persuaded." He's saying, "I am convinced. I am persuaded." He says, I know that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's going to separate you from God? Nothing. Oh, it's eternal life. That is what makes it the greatest gift. The greatest gift. You see, while you're at church this morning, somebody could be at your home right now taking all of your awesome presents. When they're gone, they're gone. But there's nothing that can take away God's love. There's nothing that can take away Jesus Christ from your life. It's the greatest gift. The greatest gift comes from God. Again, you're going to have memories from your childhood. Many of you do. Some of you have already told me about memories of Christmas has gone by. This may be the best Christmas you've ever had. But I can tell you this. It's not greater than the day you got saved. I didn't get saved at Christmas time. I don't remember the time of year that I got saved. I know it was during the school year. I don't remember, but I know this. It was the greatest gift I ever got. And nobody can take it. I don't have that black and white television anymore. I don't have that vision skateboard. I don't have the micro machines. I don't have any of the toys from my childhood. But I have Jesus. The greatest gift I ever got. Why? Because somebody told me. Because somebody stood up and taught a lesson about trusting Christ as your Savior, and I said, I want to do that. And I did. And I received it. And it changed my life. I want to do the same for you this morning. I don't know where you're at this morning with God, with Jesus Christ, but if you've never trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, what a day to do it. It'll far surpass every gift you get today, I can promise you that. Yeah, Jesus, He came, He was born. The significance in His birth was in the fact that He died for you. That He rose again the third day. And you can trust Him. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. You can trust Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around. I don't know where you're at with God, I tell you. I know we've had a few distractions this morning and things, but focus for a moment. We're almost finished. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I don't know that I've ever received that gift. I don't know if I died today that heaven would be my home. But I know this, Jesus died to save me. I understand that now. Maybe you'd like to come and have somebody pray with you and have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that when you die, heaven be your home. In just a moment, if that's you, when we begin to sing, I want you to, or when the piano begins to play, I want you to step out and let somebody show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that when you die, heaven can be your home. In just a moment, we'll pray. We'll stand, we'll keep our eyes closed, our heads bowed. The piano will begin to play. If you want to be saved this morning, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. Let somebody show you from the Word of God. Our Father in heaven, have your time. The gift that you've given to us, many in this room have already accepted it. And God, we rejoice in that. The angels in heaven rejoiced. But Father, there may be others that have never done that, that want to. God, we want to make this a time to have your Holy Spirit deal with their heart. May the Word of God speak now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the piano is playing. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, nobody's looking around.